Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Jordan is on best. Harper's on Miller.
They play together, they believe. And Caris LeVert is cold.
LeVert, back in. Speed.
Oh, he's a one-man wrecking crew.
Holiday, shot clock down to six. Finds Warren.
Welcome to another edition of the Indie Cornrows podcast. This is your host, Mark Schindler. As always, before we get started today, if you have not already, please be sure to rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts. And of course, read us over at IndieCornrows.com. I'm really psyched today to be joined by my good friend, Rhett Bauer, from over 8.9 seconds and just in general with the NBA. Rhett, how are you doing today, man?
I am doing much better than what I would have been if we had recorded when we originally planned, which was, I believe, after Friday night's game. No, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back on. And I'm excited to talk about a team that might actually have some life in them now.
Well, yeah, well, I will be honest. I don't want to be the doomer in here, but I put this out on Twitter and I was upfront right away. I was like, I don't know what to talk about tonight because this team is, they beat the shit out of the Chicago Bulls tonight, I think is the easiest way to put it. There just was never really a point where it was in doubt. They got out to a 15-point lead early, forced a timeout like 4 or 5 minutes in, and they never lost a double-digit lead the rest of the game. I think they lost a double-digit lead for a point in the second, but for the most part, the game was really never remotely within Chicago's grasp after about the first 5 minutes. With the caveat that Nikola Vucevic is still out with health and safety protocols, Alex Caruso didn't play tonight, and Chicago's coming on out of a back-to-back, and I think they've played like 7 games in the last 11 days. So they've been absolutely hammered. This was kind of, I don't want to say scheduled loss for them. Still a good win for the Pacers. You know, it's good to get that on your belt. This is like they were the leading the Eastern Conference coming into tonight. Chicago was. So it's still a good win, but there is like some nuance with it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that stood out to me about this game is if you looked at the box score, like mid through the third, I think every starter plus Duarte was right around 9 shots, which was just bizarre to see such a well-rounded box score. And everybody was scoring pretty well. There wasn't anybody who was doing anything crazy, but the thing to me with Chicago, and this is going to get off into a more of a general NBA discussion, is like, this is kind of the concern for that team without Vooch right now, is if LaVine and DeRozan aren't just absolutely torching the defense, they're just going to struggle because Lonzo, especially tonight, 0-7 from the field, a minus 32. Like if they just aren't hitting shots, they weren't getting any stops on the Pacers at all. It was pretty atrocious defensively for them. So it's just obviously your winning comes down to your two best players. And I don't think the Pacers really did anything to stop either of them. It just seemed like they weren't hitting shots.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they were 6-28 from three tonight. And I've watched the Bulls probably at least half their games this year because they've been so fun to watch. They were just missing a lot of shots. LaVine and DeRozan shot pretty well tonight. And I felt like they were missing shots that they're normally hitting. And obviously all their shooters were missing everything. So, and I don't know, their defense was pretty listless just in general. Like I thought both teams, the transition defense was like shockingly terrible. Not very shockingly terrible for the Pacers. Their transition defense has been abysmal all year, but
I was like, going to say, you saw transition defense? Because I didn't.
Yeah, there was very little. Like you said, I mean, every single miss felt like just an automatic run out and like 3-on-1 on the back end. So, you know, it was a very sloppy game despite the win by the Pacers. So, and that was hedged by the fact that Indiana was hitting everything tonight. Like 13-31 doesn't sound crazy, but considering how the team started shooting the year, pretty nice. Like Caris LeVert was, I mean, I don't want to say this was his best game of the year, but it feels like it in some ways. He had 25 on 9 shots, which I just, no, I cannot read. That's plus 25. He had 12 on 9 shots, which considering where he's been, pretty good. I mean, Miles was freaking awesome to start the game. His rim protection is always, like, we can always talk about the rim protection, but he, I mean, 4 blocks tonight, bombed 2 threes early. His night was done by the half pretty much. He was awesome. Domas was awesome, who played, I mean, Domas played very late into the game too.
Very surprising. It was like 5 minutes into the fourth when they were still up 30. I was pretty surprised to see him out there. Multiple substitution opportunities. Maybe just trying to get him to facilitate more. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really get what was up with that. Goga ended up playing the last 5. I would have had real questions if Goga didn't see any court time, but he probably should have been in earlier. But yeah, I mean, Justin Holiday continues to look fantastic. He was 4-7 from 3 tonight. You just kind of had the whole crew was hitting shots, except Chris Duarte was a little off, but he still hit shots, but I mean, 3-11 from the field overall. He still looks a little bit banged up with that shoulder. Caitlin Cooper mentioned it on Twitter. I don't even know why I said her last name. Everybody knows who Caitlin is. It's literally her pod. He was rubbing his shoulder, coming back down every time after drawing any kind of contact offensively. So definitely worth noting. But did you have any other big, not even big, but like any other like player takeaways from this?
It still seems like they're not using Domas as much as like a facilitator role. Obviously he's still involved in the actions, but I kept waiting for him to be dishing out of the screen short roll dish. And that just didn't really happen as much as at least from what I saw. I thought it was great that he was 5 of 5 from the line. And then obviously getting 21, 11 and 4, like that's just going to be good. But it didn't seem like nothing great was happening on either end for the Pacers. It was just a matter of making shots. And so I was a little bit surprised. I think Miles sometime in the second quarter had like 5 pick and roll possessions where he had his hand up and had Ayo Dosunmu on him and just didn't get the ball. It was pretty crazy to see. It felt like he was wide open, but he just kept going through the motions and rolling and not getting the ball, which was just hilarious. But it was, you said Caris scored 25 and I was like, oh yeah, because it seemed like he scored 25 points. He was actually doing pretty well tonight, despite going 0 of 2 from 3. But yeah, I mean, just across the board, it seemed like they just did okay, but I'm not taking very much away from this game because of Vooch being out, Caruso being out, and the Bulls just not hitting outside of DeRozan, who shot 50%. Everybody else was just kind of rough. So it's not like there wasn't some defensive breakthrough for the Pacers that we can look to build on. It was just a weird game, I think.
Yeah, and like you mentioned too, it was hard to take away anything with Domas, because as good as he was, like a lot of it was, okay, they just kept running pick and roll, and Quinn was like, Quinn Buckner said on the broadcast, Brogdon's just picking them apart. I'm like, no, I mean, yes, Brogdon's hitting the roller, but also like they just were not making backline rotations very often, at least not with the consistency that they have all year for Chicago. Because they rely so much on their low man rotating over, or even sometimes they'll throw in high tags to try and stunt. And that was just not there at all tonight. And again, credit to Domas, he was awesome. But I mean, the team took 34 shots at the rim, which feels like the highest it's been in forever. And a lot of that was, Domas may as well have been Moses parting the Red Sea tonight every time he got the ball on the roll. So
it didn't matter who was around. They were just getting out of his way, it seemed like. And that was
Tony Bradley had bizarre. Nothing for him tonight. Tony Bradley has honestly been solid this year, but yeah, not for Domas. That was there was nothing there for him. Derrick Jones was not great either. I mean, it's just, again, hard to take away too much from tonight.
I think your point about being a scheduled loss for the Bulls is absolutely right, because they just have played so much back-to-back. No Caruso, who's been incredible for them this year and would have been a great matchup for the Pacers for the 3-guard lineup that they typically run out there. Like throwing Kobe White into that starting lineup does not do what Caruso does. And you can't put it all on missing one player or two players like Vooch, especially when the Pacers are missing TJ Warren too, but like Caruso's been so huge for them that, I mean, missing him tonight back to back, I mean, it's just like, especially when they were losing so much in the second quarter, you could kind of just tell it was just kind of over at that point.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, man. I guess we could talk about a little overarching things. Number one, very cool that the team actually won all four quarters. I was just gritting my teeth waiting for, you know, despite being up by so much at half, I think they're up 20 at half or 21 at half. I was just waiting for them to, you know, piss it away in the third quarter as we've gotten accustomed to. They clamped it up. They actually had, I think that was their best defensive quarter. They only allowed up 15 points. Yes, it was very nice to see that after like the worst third quarter team in basketball. It's close to it. I know they're not the full on worst, but it's very close to it. So that was nice to see. But I guess
it was funny because my family's over and I was like, hey, they got this 20-point lead. I bet you it's down to like 6 by the end of the third, and then it's a game for the fourth quarter. And I was wrong. So look at me.
It's good to be wrong sometimes. I guess I would ask you, because, I mean, we still talk pretty regularly, but I haven't gotten to ask you as much about where you're at with the team. They're 8-11 now. This will put them, I'm trying to look right now, I think, they'll be ahead of Toronto or right behind Toronto in the standings, but should go up soon, given how Toronto's going. But, I mean, granted, you have no idea with where Indiana's going right now. But Atlanta won again. Philadelphia's playing right now. So they'll be right in that range still between 11 and 14. Kind of fighting for that, whatever you want to call it. I mean, where are you at with how things are going over the last couple of weeks after kind of looking like they were hitting a turning point, and then last week happened and you get a win, a
turning
here,
point
great,
in a different way.
Yeah
almost.
I mean they beat Chicago tonight, and now they play the Lakers on the 24th with LeBron coming back after his suspension that was somehow shorter than Isaiah Stewart's, but
also shorter than Jokic's, which
zero
consistency at
there.
All love
there's
that.
A lot there, but I mean, this schedule is incredibly tough coming up. So I mean, how do you feel going into this? Because this is, I mean, I keep saying it feels like we can say it's gut check time for this team every two games, but this next week's going to be really telling about where they're going to be at by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think every game right now is pretty much a gut check for this team, because I don't think we know what they are, and I don't know if they even know who they are, because like Caitlin's been all over it on Twitter and she's absolutely right. Is like, imagine using your post hub as a post hub, like crazy thought, because they just haven't been doing that. And I don't know why. I don't know if they're just seeing what else works, but like with the slide that the team has been on, obviously that it's been a little bit better lately just with the last two games, but like why are we not trying to maximize our players? Like, it's just been really bizarre to put players in roles that don't really make a ton of sense, but they're obviously better than third worst in the East. I don't think there's any question about that, but I don't know how much better, because the Cavs losing Sexton is going to be big, because I thought the Cavs were going to end up making the play-in. Like, they were incredible. So just like the team itself, I don't really know, but the team relative to the East is a little bit concerning with how they don't seem to know what they want to do, while these other teams seem to be kind of finding themselves in a little bit. I don't know. We both watched the league a little bit. We might be able to speak to that. You can probably speak to it more than I can, but it just doesn't seem like the Pacers know who they are, what they want to do, and that's just a little bit concerning considering we're almost 20 games in the year.
Yeah, just to take stock really quick, I mean, you're making good points. Like, I think Detroit and Orlando are clearly out of it already. Like, I think Detroit's looking a lot better with Cade coming along. And, I mean, Cade's been – he was fantastic against the Lakers, really damn good against the Pacers in that game. But yeah, I think Toronto, I'm not really sure where to gauge Toronto at, but this team has lost to Toronto. They have real trouble with that team and their length and athleticism. Pascal's back and they're still figuring that out. Atlanta presumptively is going to be better. They've looked better over the last week and a half or so.
Five game win streak. So that's pretty big.
Yes. Like they are looking like they're starting to figure some shit out. And I think part of that is unfortunately because of DeAndre Hunter going down, but also like that helped them figure out some of their rotation stuff. And more importantly, Clint Capella just looks like Clint Capella again. Philadelphia, I think they're tied. Yeah, they're tied with Sacramento right now. I have the game on in the background. They've been on a skid, but also their entire starting lineup is out right now. So I can't take that much from that. With Joel Embiid healthy, they were the number one seed in the East. Part of that was schedule, but also they were just playing really well and had something going. Boston also sneakily starting to figure things out. They're in their last seven. They're 5-2. And I think they won tonight. So in their last eight, they're 6-2. Their defenses look better. They still have offensive questions, but Jason Tatum is shooting a lot better from the field now and looks like he's kind of rounding back into form. Milwaukee just beat the absolute shit out of Orlando tonight.
It was 79-25 in the second quarter.
Yeah. What in the world? It was ugly. Milwaukee, like, I don't understand quite where some people come from. Like, a lot of people have been complaining about the Bucks being like, what's wrong with them? Why are they bad? Well, they're Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Brooke Lopez have all missed significant time to start the year. It's mostly just been Giannis and Thanasis starting. So,
and then Grayson Allen. Like, yeah, that's literally,
and Grayson has actually been really good for them.
He's been fantastic.
But yeah, they're going to be much better. The Knicks are in kind of a similar spot as the Pacers, albeit they just had a better start. But they have really struggled to kind of find any footing after their first seven or eight games. Cleveland, I'm right there with you. Darius Garland went down tonight, and he ended up coming back, but they lost a tight game to Brooklyn, which is kind of like, it feels like it's going to be the story for them without Mobley and without Sexton too, just really struggling to win some of these close games. They play well enough to be in them, but not quite win them. But I do think there's, like, Cleveland is still good. It's just going to be, what does Okoro start to look like? Can they get a little bit more out of the offense? Markkanen, I think, came back tonight too. So, you know, they're getting healthier, but it just depends. Charlotte, I don't know if I want to say like that I have like a great grasp on them because their defense has been better recently. I think they're 10th in defense, or like 2 days ago, they were 10th in defense over the last 2 weeks. And I don't think that's changed that much because they played pretty solidly defensively against the Wizards tonight and won that game. So they're 11-8 now. Washington's kind of been hovering around 500 after starting as well as they did. And part of that is with guys being out of the lineup, and they still have guys coming back from injury soon. And obviously Brooklyn and Chicago and Miami are all, I think, like a step above everyone else in the East other than Milwaukee. So yeah, when you look at everything, yes, the Pacers team might be rounding into form, but like, okay, every team in the East has their shit together to a degree. And maybe, again, reductive way to put it, like, they're like we pointed out, I think Cleveland and the Knicks are clearly two teams that are trying to figure some things out still. Mostly Cleveland is just due to injury, but I don't know. This team like really needs, like, really, geez, I sound like I'm from Mean Girls, but this team really needs a good stretch of basketball. Like, you look at this upcoming schedule, the Lakers, who honestly, I don't want to say that that's an unwinnable game or anything, but the Lakers haven't been good, but I also just, this team tends to struggle playing against LeBron James. So that, not just in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like that team's going to be, and this sounds very narrative-y, but coming off of that game that they just had against Detroit, it's hard to see them not coming out very ready to compete. But I mean, that's a very tough game automatically. Like, that's a team that's close to it. I mean, they are above 500, if I remember correctly. I can't, let me pull up the stats. The Lakers are above, they are 500 right now. So close enough. But sorry, I'm rambling on and on. You go ahead.
No, you're good. It's just like, so right now, the Bucks are 7, Knicks are 8, Sixers are 9, Cleveland is 10, Atlanta 11, Toronto 12, Pacers 13. So, like, right now, the Pacers, Raptors, and Hawks are missing the play-in game while the Cavs and Knicks make it. So, are the Pacers going to end up being better than the Raptors, Hawks, and the Knicks to make the play-in game? I don't know. Like, I legitimately don't know. I know the Knicks are having some issues, but they've got – I mean, it's Tibbs, so I just assume that they're going to end up figuring their crap out. Yep. The Hawks, obviously, a lot of what they need to be doing relies on Clint Capella. And now that he's looking healthy, and what you said about DeAndre Hunter going down, kind of fixing some issues with them, it sucks to say, but that's exactly what it is. Like, it's just rotation. They had such a stuffed rotation. There's so many guys that should probably be getting minutes. They just can't find them all. And so I'm just not sure. And then, like, Toronto could easily, you know, they could finagle their way and get down towards the bottom three in the East just to try and make their situation a little bit better. And obviously we've got any sort of trade possibilities with any of these teams, but I just, the Pacers could figure it out and still end up 11th and not in the play-in game. And that's just a really scary thought for me, just looking at the future of this team.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think that's what's so tough with this team is if I had asked you right now, what do the Pacers hang their hat on? Like, what is their go-to every night?
We've been talking about it all season. I have no idea.
Yeah. And that's part of what's frustrating about that is, like we've talked about, like, I have my fingers crossed because I've had people from all over the league reaching out to me like, is Rick finally giving up some of the play calling and letting Domas do his thing now? Like, it's not just the us noticing an Indiana thing. Like, it's starting to go out around the league a little bit. And I don't know. I'm interested to see if this is something that's going to uphold, because again, tonight, I want to go back and watch tonight because I was, you know, I think partially we didn't get to see it to a degree. Also, I wasn't fully paying attention to that. I was just like, holy shit, they're blowing a team out. It's amazing. Yeah. But I don't want to just say that New Orleans was a one-off, but I hope that New Orleans wasn't a one-off and we get to see more of that, because that was good. And again, it's tough because, again, like, as much as I want to be excited about New Orleans, New Orleans is like the second worst team in the NBA this year. So yeah, they feel their like next, there's caveats with everything.
Yeah. Their next 12 games are incredibly difficult. Like, the only teams that they play in there that aren't almost playoff locks are Minnesota, and then all the way on the back end of that, their 12th game is Detroit, and the game after that is Miami. And so it's like Lakers, Toronto, Milwaukee, Wolves, Hawks, Heat, Wizards, Knicks, Dallas, Golden State, Milwaukee, Detroit, Miami. Like, just go down the list, and these next 12 games are going to be the difference in whether or not this team can make the playoffs, I think, because once you, like, you're already sitting here at 8-11 after a very nice win tonight. Those 12 games are just, that's just a hellish stretch of basketball. And for a team who doesn't really have their crap figured out, who may not have their crap figured out, that is just not the kind of stretch that you need to figure it out, unless you just, like, you know, iron sharpens iron, and you decide to go in there and just, you look at the games ahead of you and you realize you have to figure it out, or you're going to be out of it way sooner than you should be for a team that's supposed to be in the playoff race.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Yeah. No, exactly. And it's just, it's a little bit frustrating because I think you look at this team. I mean, we've talked about it before. They're a team that can't in a way, I wouldn't say they can't afford injuries. I mean, cause we know they're going to happen regardless, but especially looking at things offensively without having the defense really figured out this year, like it's been better, but still not completely ironed out. I mean, it's harder for them to craft wins together when they don't have the full unit together. Like, yes, the defense has been better over the last 2 weeks. They're fourth in defense over the last 2 weeks, not including today. That is including today. But I don't know. Like, the offense is just so messed up with the starters right now. And I do imagine them gel together because, while I have been really hard on it, like, what, I mean, Karras and Brogdon have been in the same backcourt for, was this maybe their fifth game together?
I think fourth or fifth, yeah.
Yeah, and they've played, that makes, I think, like 30 games in their entire career together, if that. If you include last year, it's probably less. But I don't know, man. I just don't really know what to think about it. I know this is like my least least nuanced podcast of all time, but I don't know. All right, so let's phrase it like this. So this team's 8-11 right now.
Yep.
All right, so they beat Chicago tonight. It's 8-11. Do you have them beating if playing the Lakers on the 24th? Yeah, win or loss?
That's a loss.
Okay. Playing Toronto on the 26th, win or loss?
That's probably a loss.
I don't know. I think they'll figure it out against Toronto.
Toronto's such a weird team for them because if Toronto really figures it out, like that's a super tough matchup for the
Pacers. Toronto's 30th in defense over the last two weeks.
That's unreal.
Yes, that's happened. Scottie is a rookie, believe it or not. He's been very bad defensively. Part of it has been what they're asking him to do. But
good guy Scottie Barnes tanking his play while Mobley's out to keep the rookie of the year race close.
Yes, I appreciate that. Because Evan Mobley should be the rookie of the year right now. But
yep.
Well, I just like looking at this next 12. So, okay, you can pull your head, everything. Milwaukee, that's a loss. I'm sorry.
Yes.
We know that. Minnesota, that's possible. But
home against the Bucks, loss, and then traveling to Minnesota back to back.
That's tough.
That's not great. Then you get a six game home stretch, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Miami, Washington. You probably beat Washington.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Knicks. They had problems with them earlier. Because again, like,
I mean, that's when you allow 140 points.
Somebody said something to me about the Pacers playing slow, and I was like, it's not just playing slow; it's that they are slow. Like, they don't have. Like, they're almost built in some ways like a 90s team, it feels like. And not even in terms of, like, having two centers, but just, like, a lot of bigger players at their position who aren't very quick.
Right.
And that's why we've seen some of the issues defensively this year, because they struggle so much to contain the ball one-on-one that they have to resort to hedging or soft trapping. And you see some of that play out. And, I mean, I think you see that offensively too. Like, T.J. McConnell is obviously very fast, but even, like, Malcolm Brogdon is – like, he gets going downhill, but I wouldn't necessarily call him fast. Karras is, like, more east-west than, you know, being super fast or anything. There's just – I mean, Karras was better defensively tonight, but I just think you look at everything, it's hard to see any real matchup there. I don't remember where I was going with that entirely, but point being, team is
It's slow. Just, like, looking over these next teams, like, it's just not going to be great.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, with Washington, like Spencer Dinwiddie and Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have very, very much a lot of trouble containing either of those guys. So I think you can look at it and say, all right, both the Milwaukee games that happened in that 12 game stretch, probably not wins. But I also think, okay, if this team is going to be a team that makes the playoffs, they have to find a way to go out a win. What year was it? Was it in 18-19? It was either the year where Vic was injured or the year before when they found a way to beat Milwaukee in one of the games. Part of it was Thad is like sneakily one of the best players at guarding Giannis in the NBA one-on-one. Still not very good at it, but like, he's good enough at it.
Even though we keep telling people that he's sneakily one of the best players to guard Giannis, like, he's still under
the radar. We only get like 400 listeners a pod, so you know, we're not telling that many people. Golden State, that's yeah, no. I mean, so let's say, all right, this team goes 6-6 over the next 12, and that would be a good stretch.
That's optimistic. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think 6-6 is almost optimistic. So that puts you at 14.
And then 17. You're, and not only that, but you're also, yeah, but then you're losing to a lot of the teams that are ahead of you. Like, Toronto's in there, Atlanta's in there, Milwaukee's in there, Miami, Washington, New York. Like, these are a lot of teams that you have to be beating that I don't know. And that's not even factoring in like any sort of injury either way, either team. Like, it's a really rough stretch. And I don't know what to make of it. I feel like if we end up doing this like around Christmas, like say we get through the next 15 games, we could have this exact same podcast with a different record. And yeah. No, it would not be a surprise. Like, we could rerun this and it wouldn't be a surprise at all.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, they have to go 8-4 to be 500. So it's like, exactly. That's tough. But I also think at the same time,
yikes. All right,
there is a chance, and I do want to be optimistic for a second. I do think there is a chance the team could do that. I don't think it's likely, but I do think there's a chance where they could go, you know, above 500 in this next stretch, because they are finally having, not things aren't necessarily clicking on court entirely, but they have health for the first time in forever. Like, and you know, they finally had opportunities for everybody to kind of be together and gel together. I guess the question I would ask you, because I think this is what's really important in the next stretch, how have you felt about Malcolm and Karis together as a backcourt offensively?
It seems weird because it's almost like a conscious effort of my turn, your turn. And there's not a whole lot of sharing between the two of them in various actions, unless it's just like the token handoff at the start of every single set that does pretty much nothing, that just gets people moving in one direction or another. I don't feel like there's been a good like stretch of play where, you know, Karis is getting into the teeth of the defense and kicking it out to Brogdon, who's spotting up. It just kind of seems like they're both individually running their own two-man game, even though they might be sharing the court. Like, does that make sense? Are you seeing the same thing, or am I just completely looking too deep in?
No, I feel the same. And I think part of it is tough because like, we're looking at everything in terms of they're trying to run everything through Karis and Malcolm, or more everything through Malcolm. And it's been, I mean, Kayla and I talked about this a little bit on our latest pod together, but Karis is just not seeing teammates well.
No, not at all. All those Miles possessions I was talking about, that was Karis as a ball handler.
Yeah, I mean, he is, as much as he shot well tonight, he did not find his teammates well at all. And I don't know what's been up with that, because, I think I do to a degree see why part of that's been up. Like, the pick and roll possessions just have not been the same. It's been a lot of him, you know, resorting more to getting his own shot and creating and getting all the way downhill. Like, we saw that first game, I can't remember who it was against. It actually was the Toronto game, because the Toronto game was his first game back. I think he was just like tremendous coming out of the gates, got all the way to the rim like five or six times in that first half and created a lot out of it. And that just hasn't been consistent. And I think that's something that you and I both probably came in banking on this year and hoping for. So I think that's something that you want to see more of. I mean, Malcolm has shot better-ish recently, but still not great. Like, he had an awesome outing against the Pelicans, so his numbers skyrocketed. Like, I think before the Pelicans game, he was shooting 29%, and now, you know, he shot 46 the other night, so he's been, yeah, crazy good. Like, since he came back from when he was inactive, he shot 38% from deep on 6.5 a game now. So it's looking better, but it's just, you know, it's, I don't really think it's been that much of him being off ball or anything. It's just been the shot going down more off of looks. Geez, I lost my place again. Sorry. But no point. Like, okay, so you have guys who are getting hot, but again, a lot of it is going to come down to, can things settle down in the half court? Because what's been, well, I keep saying what's been weird. A lot of things have been weird. Like, This team's 8-11.
That's why you keep saying it. Yeah.
This team's 8-11, and they're 11th in offense and 12th in defense right now. And I just don't see it with Hyler to a degree. Like the defense, yes. I think Miles has been so good. Miles had a slow start, in my opinion, to the year. Not just offensively. Like he did have that slow start offensively, but also defensively. He didn't fully look himself to a degree coming off the toe injury from last year. But he's been, I mean, fantastic in pick and roll and just all over the place, especially locking down the rim and what he's been doing. He's looked very good. I don't really trust the defense in terms of being like top five, but I do think that's kind of like, that's at least seeming to have itself figured out. But I still just every time I watch the offense, I scratch my head and I'm like, I just don't know about that being a top 11 offense every time I look at it. But I'm like talking myself in circles. You go ahead.
No, you're good. It's just, you're exactly right. Because if you had asked me what where they were in both, I would have said like 15 to 17 range. Mm-hmm. Because that's just what it feels like. It feels like an average to below average, like right in the middle, but they just lose all the close games. And I am shocked to see that it's better than that, because it just does not look like it at all. It doesn't seem like there's hardly any resistance at the point of attack. Offensively, like you said, like we've been talking about, it's just been rough, and I don't know why. It almost seems like it's deliberate, like they're doing things on purpose to put themselves in situations that are not ideal. And I don't know how much of that is just trying to grow players, seeing what else people can do, if they're just I don't know. I don't have any idea. And it's kind of frustrating to see. We have these players, they can do certain things, and to see them not be asked to do those things or to be put in positions to succeed doing the things that they're best at. And we talked about it during the preseason. It was weird, and it's kind of carried over to the regular season in a way that I just cannot still believe is a talking point, like 17 games in the season.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. Well, I guess last thing that I would want to close out on, first of all, if I had to ask you right now, what would you think Cleveland Glass has their expected win total across 82 games at?
If I remember correctly, the Pacers are one of the teams that have a positive net rating that are under 50%.
Yeah.
So I would say Cleveland Glass probably has them at like 40-42.
It has expected win total at 49.6 wins on
here. Excuse me?
Yeah. So they're about to go on an amazing second half tear, or I guess third quarters tear. How are we already quarter the way into the year? That's kind of wild. But last thing I want to close out on, Chris Duarte, what have you thought of him? I haven't really just asked you about Chris Duarte, but I've been so impressed with him, man. And I know, again, he had a 3-of-11 night tonight, but I think every time that he doesn't play, or you see minutes without him, like you kind of see how important he is to the team. Like in some ways, he's not that same level of shooter that Doug is. Like he's a better off the dribble shooter. I don't think he's the same level of off screen shooter yet. I think that's something that I'm hoping to see from him moving forward. I mean, having the off dribble shot is so huge, but point being, like you want to see him get to that level as a screen guy, but. What he brings coming off of one or two dribbles inside the arc. I want to see him get all the way to the rim more, but like he still has some of that in his bag. But he's just been such an awesome fit.
Yeah.
And seeing what he's brought has been really freaking cool. And you can see how even in some ways he's growing more. Like he had a couple of rough spots in pick and roll as a passer tonight. Like he had a completely premeditated read that he threw to the corner. And I think Javonte Green stole it. But more importantly, like you're seeing him working through some things, and he has grown as a pass this year. Like he's hitting the pocket pass with more regularity. And I don't know, man. I just really enjoyed watching him. It has been a nice bright spot seeing him contribute the way he has and still having like a positive impact.
His impact goes far beyond the box score, because I feel like he is one of the best Pacers in terms of getting in the mix for offensive rebounds, because he has a nose for the ball and just like some sort of basketball IQ instinct sort of a thing where he's in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the buzzer beaters are always awesome. I don't know if we've felt like more comfortable with a guy putting up a buzzer beater since I don't know when, I guess Vic first
2017-18 Vic. Yeah.
But like seeing that from a 24-year-old rookie in his first 20 games is just really impressive. And I mean, you can point to the poor shooting. You can point to he's not assisting that much. And defensively, he's not doing near as much as what he was in summer league, which because it was summer league, but he's still really solid. He gets put on Kemba Walker. Like he was very much missed in that assignment when we played the Knicks the second time this season. So it's just been great. I think that there was definitely some hesitation taking him from the fan base for sure. I think he's silenced all of that and been one of the most impactful Pacers this season. And you're absolutely right. When he's not out there, it just doesn't look as good. Like he just looks like a player and he does a lot of right things. And I'm very excited to see him do more and get his legs under him to the point where he can start adding to and improving on things that are less about just getting familiar with the NBA game and more about finding his game in the NBA.
Yeah. And I think to build on that too, like he is kind of the one guy who I think you can look at that's not in the starting lineup. I mean, he technically is in the starting lineup, but other than like Justin, and I think even to a degree, Justin is tough because if his three is not falling, he's really struggling to contribute to a degree offensively. Like he's good at making, you know, the second pass and keeping plays alive. But, you know, if his jumper is not falling, that really hinders what he can do as a player. With Chris, I mean, he's kind of the one guy on the team outside Justin who you can say, okay, he's going to contribute on both ends, and he's not just a shooter. Like if his jumper's not going, yeah, ideally you need his jumper going, but like he can attack a closeout where he can still move the ball. He can do a little bit more. Like he just brings enough juice outside that it makes the difference. And again, like it's different with TJ McConnell because like if he has the ball in his hands, sure. But so often this year, he hasn't had the ball in his hands when he's with second unit. So it looks different, but I mean, quietly Torrey Craig has really struggled from deep the last couple of games. I think he did tonight too. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but like as good as Keelan Martin has made himself, he is not really like, and when I talk about like somebody who's going to make a play, I don't mean like, yes, having some like Keelan can, if he gets the ball and he's not going to shoot, he'll pass it, but also he likes to shoot. And he's solid at it, but also like if he's coming off of a screen, like if he's coming out of pick and roll, that ball is going up 90% of the time. So like I think I look at Chris and like there are enough times where, especially too, when he's not more of a primary, like when he was more of a primary, I think you saw a lot of his deficiencies as a playmaker right now where he was getting some tunnel vision. But I think, you know, if he's coming off second side and his shot isn't there, he's good at finding the right guy to get it off to. While still impacting the defense. And I think that's just something that you don't get out of a roster that's kind of comprised of a lot of players who do struggle to make an impact on both ends to a degree.
Torrey Craig tonight was 0 of 1 in his last 9 games.
And he's been checking out of shots.
13. Yes, very much so. 13% from three over the last 9 games, which is kind of cherry picked, but I just went to the last game that he didn't hit a three, and that's just what it was. Duarte brings a level of versatility that you said it. Him and Justin are really the only two that you can pencil in as like, okay, contributing on both ends. And that's another thing that I have issue with, is it seems like there's a lot of not one dimensional, because that's extremely reductive, but like there's just not a lot of versatility on the roster.
A lot of situational guys, I think, would be the way to
play. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And right now, and like as soon as you have an injury, that situation changes. And now all of a sudden, Justin Holliday is in the starting lineup and not doing as well. Thankfully, we have Duarte, so he's going to start, and it's not that big of a deal. But then you've got your Keelan Martins in there, and you've got your Torrey Craigs, who has to be in there as a big wing, who's not shooting the ball very well. So it's just, it's very interesting that obviously the injuries suck. There's no doubt about that, but like it exposes the roster in a way that I'm very thankful to see Chris Duarte step up and make an impact in that, like absolutely immediately. And it's been awesome to see.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And I think that's part of what's so tantalizing about the idea of TJ coming back. And I still don't know if that, I just don't know what to make of it most of the time.
Who?
I just,
no,
exactly. I mean, I just want to be healthy. You know,
absolutely.
I don't really have a ton of expectations for him coming back and what he's going to look like, because it's been so long with him being on court. But I mean, that just gives you the idea, like imagining Chris and Justin both being able to come off the bench is like, wow, that's kind of cool. Like that, then you actually start looking at like, okay, the depth is kind of legit and it makes more sense rotationally. I actually do think it makes things a little bit more confusing rotationally, because then it's like, okay, well, who is the closing five? Because I think to a degree, like Caitlin and I talked about this earlier this year, like, you're probably not closing with one of the centers if you have both TJ Warren and Chris Duarte who are able to play defense and shoot. Like you need that.
Talking about versatility, that is a way to have versatility on the court.
That is a far ways off from now, though. But yeah, man, I think that is a good place to leave off. I rambled a lot on this podcast, so thank you for that. To everyone who listened, thank you for sticking all the way through if you did. Rhett, is there anything that you want to plug or mention before we get out of here, or anything you're excited about?
I'm excited for a lot of basketball and a lot of food in the next couple of days. But yeah, I've got my podcast over on Sports Ethos, Punt Intended for Fantasy Basketball with a Dynasty Lens. We have a lot of fun on there. Had a couple of big guests, Roosh Williams and Zach Noble actually just interviewed Miles Turner. So they were both on our show individually talking about the Rockets and the Timberwolves, which was fun. Had a bunch of other team coverage, just expectations for the season, and then a bunch of other play rankings and stuff like that. So we have a bunch of good stuff over there. Again, Punt Intended over at Sports Ethos. So be sure to check those out if you don't mind some fantasy basketball talk.
I will have some links to those down below. Rhett, thanks for taking the time, man. I appreciate you. Still, I guess you're not up that late, so I don't appreciate you that much.
Oh, it's mountain time, baby. I'm good.
Dude, I still need to move out to whenever I finally am getting to a place where I'm not living paycheck to paycheck. So maybe I will be able to cobble up enough money to move out to like Colorado or something and not live on Eastern Standard poverty time, trying to keep up with basketball that's starting at like 11 p.m. It's absolutely abysmal. I literally would move out to the mountains just so I can watch basketball without falling asleep. It'd be fantastic.
Like I said, all my family is here and they're like, wow, the game started like 6. I was like, yes, yes, they do.
It's amazing.
Number one perk to living out here for sure.
Well, Rhett, I appreciate you, man. I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. To everyone listening, I am not going to have a podcast until probably next Monday. So I hope that you enjoy your Thanksgiving. I hope that the Pacers games go well. I shouldn't say that I won't have a podcast. It might happen. I'll have my headphones with me. I won't have my mic. Anything is possible. There might be some written stuff. Regardless, we'll be covering things over Indie Cornrows. Thank you for listening. Have a good rest of your day or start to your day or whatever it is. And just, you know, enjoy your Thanksgiving if you celebrate it or not. And thanks for listening.